Then your flock will eat poison, but you won't. That's me and joking with my father. Hallelujah. Thank you once again. I thank the Lord for this opportunity. It's an honor. I so wish Apostle wasn't here. Yeah. But he's here. So I'm going to speak different English. Okay. Father, I thank you for this opportunity. I give you praise, I give you honor, Lord, to all of you and none of me, Lord God. As I speak, I said, Lord, I'm not going to be speaking. You speak through me. Do whatever you have to do. Deliver the message that you've given to me, Lord. I'm here as your mouthpiece. In Jesus' mighty name, I thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Okay, this is our month of... Do you know what month are we at? Okay, this is our month of belief. We have a monthly declaration. What year are we at? Okay, not 2025, yes, okay. Okay, this is our year of divine acceleration. And the month has been declared as a month of belief. So the title of what I'm going to be talking about is Letting Go of Fear, for I Believe. This is in line with what the year is all about. Well, the spirit of fear. We're talking about the spirit of fear because I realize that fear is the one that mostly stops us from achieving what we need to achieve. And year after year, the declarations are made and some things creep in and you don't realize what exactly it is. So I am going to be coaching and talking about that. Okay, the spirit of fear concept is very crippling. It is offensive. Fear hinders faith, trust in God, and it hinders you from living a purposeful life. The Bible extends it. God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear. And God does not intend for his people to live in fear, but in faith, love and power. He says that he has not given us. So meaning that when you give, you receive. So when you operate in that spirit of fear, it means somewhere, somehow you have received the spirit of fear because there are spirits that are given. Fear is a spirit, but it's not given, but we have been given a spirit of love, of power and of a sound mind. That suggests clearly that if you are fearful, it means you have received this spirit from somewhere, somehow. And we know that do not fear or fear not appears about 365 times in the Bible, meaning that really every day you don't have to fear. All right. The key insight on the spirit of fear is that fear is not from God. All right. So let's identify fear, because many people do not recognize fear, the root cause of fear. Because fear manifests itself in so many ways. It manifests as in indecision, in procrastination, that's when you drift, you're not making decision. Fear of poverty, fear of death, fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of success, fear of responsibility, taking responsibility. People feel complacent. No, if I don't take responsibility, I'm okay. Whereas the motivating factor is fear. The reason I'm talking about fear is that I want us to curb anything that will hinder us living in acceleration or enjoying this month of us believing. So when you don't want to take action, or you fear speaking up, coming here to testify and just say, what are people going to say? That's fear on its own. It means we don't trust God. And sometimes you say, I trust God, but it's little things that happen in life that displays not trusting God. All right? Fear is not just an emotion. It is a lack of trust in God. The question is, are you living in fear? Let's recognize the roots of fear. Again, I said, Romans 8:15 says, you did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. So, like I said, fear can be received, but fear keeps you in bondage. It keeps people stuck. It makes you blind to God's power and God's love. The perfect love casts away fear. So when you're doubting things, it means that you don't trust God, and you cannot do it. We cannot do it this year without trusting God, because we need to accelerate. Fear and doubt, they work together. James 1:6 says, "But let him who ask in faith with no doubt, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven, tossed by the wind." So if you're doubting, you are a Thomas. So nowadays, we don't need to be Thomas, because we know that God is dependable. All right, let's go to a man of God that was trusted. A man, you know, the spirit of fear is a really tormenting spirit. Looking at 1 Kings, talking about Elijah. Elijah is the same man who spoke a word and said there must be no rain for years, and there was no rain. Elijah also spoke to the widow and her son, and saying that, "Give me the last bit of food." I'm just paraphrasing, just to give you an idea from the top. And then there was oil, and the oil made this woman come up of poverty. And then he revived the son of another woman from the dead. And then he called fire from heaven. God answered him. And then he outran the chariots. This is the same man, but yet this is the same man who was scared of one woman, Jezebel. How does that work? How does that work? You know, when I was reading this throughout the week, I'm like, how does this work? So I'm just thinking, you and I, what has God done for you in yesterdays, in yesteryears, that today, when Apostle says this is a year of divine acceleration, you are thinking, will it happen? That is why, Apostle, I loved when we started the year by repenting, by letting go of those things that were, what did you say? But we're cleaning the womb. Yes, we're cleansing the womb. Whatever has been aborted, we're cleansing the womb. But I bet there are people that even after doing that, there are things that came and challenged us, and we're focusing on them. So today is to make sure that this February, we will walk in belief. You are not going to say, "Help me, Lord, my unbelief, I believe." We're getting rid of that. Amen. Because we know that John 10:10, the thief comes here to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But we're not going to allow him. Enough is enough. I have heard enough of Satan stealing from me. This year, saints, I am taking the bull by its horn. I am not going to lose. February is my birth month. I double dare the devil. And this month, this year, Apostle, sorry, can I just, this year the Lord started me differently. I am a lily. The word of God, I just cry all the time. And a lily is a flower, but in Xhosa, when a person cries too much, we call them lilies, because we are lila. Okay, so this song plays, I cry, they move me. It's where God has broken the parts of me. I didn't know this was happening in December. Little did I know that it was preparing for the acceleration. God prepares us. Sometimes we do not understand, but now when I hear divine acceleration, okay, and I believe, there's no way, saints, that we are going to be here and the man of God prays for us, and we do not become. We are not going to let your God down. Amen. Saints, are we? Not at all. I almost spoke in another language. Tofia kwa. Okay, Ephesians 6:11 says, "Put on the full armor of God, for his precepts are like a splendid armor of heavily armed soldier, so that you may be able to successfully stand up against all schemes and strategies and the deceits of the devil." We are so prepared. Now I'm going to talk about fear versus faith. Matthew 14:30-31. This is when Peter walks on the water. Peter successfully walks on the water. But fear came when he shifted his focus to the circumstances. Faith keeps us walking from on the water, but faith makes us sink. Think about what is it that you were walking on water? What's that one sentence that came and it wants to shift you? We are not going to allow the enemy to steal the word that has been deposited into our system because we are on a mission. Hallelujah. And also John 1, 1 John 4:18 says that there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. Fear thrives in uncertainty and doubt. But the love of God provides us assurance, casting out that fear. When I was thinking about the love of God, when you know that God loves you, you know that nothing can stand in your way. You know, when a child, as parents, you know when your baby is small and they run to you, running, wanting you to embrace them, they run knowing that you are going to catch them, you are going to embrace them. They don't have doubts. Where did we lose it, saints? Because we were once children who trusted. Now we need to go back and be those children that trust wholeheartedly in God, because God still wants to embrace us and do and give us those promises that he has promised, because his promises are yes and amen. You are never late. God doesn't change. It is us that we change. We change statuses, we change altitudes, we change direction. So I am pleading with us that we should go back to God. So my question is, just reflective questions as to what is stopping you from making a decision? What's the worst that could happen if you take this step? And then where do you think fear comes from? So I'm saying these things because there is a root for everything. Sometimes we do not deal with the root, we run away from them. But in my profession, these are the questions that I would have asked as to where does it come from? What is the root? You need to deal with the root cause. If it's something that happened in the past, if you've been disappointed, and now everything, every time something good is about to happen, then you go back to what if. How about letting go of that? How about you deal with the root cause? Because what happens is that the enemy knows the things that are bothering us, and if you do not deal with them, he'll keep on bringing them up. So the best way is not to put it in your dark phase. In the Johari window, there's that window, the dark phase, where you put things into that place where you forget them. No, you are not forgetting them. You are avoiding them. I was dealing recently with a client that has got anger issues. So she said to me that she wants to manage anger. I said, why would you want to manage anger? That's how the world speaks. You don't manage anger. You don't manage anything that is negative. You deal with them. Hallelujah. Amen. We take authority because we've been given power, love, and a sound mind. The Bible says that let that mind that was in Christ Jesus be in us also. When we have that mind, we'll be able to quench all those fiery darts of the enemy, because the mind is the battleground. Hallelujah. So how do we overcome this fear? So you first speak the right words and declare the word of God. When those doubts, when those moments come, you speak the word. That is why the word says, let the meditation of your word, meditate on these words day and night, meaning that the word must not depart from your lips. You meditate on it, you sleep the word, you eat the word, you drink the word. So overcoming the spirit of fear, when you prayer and trusting, that is from Philippians 4, 6 to 7, pray and give anxieties to God. And then renewing the mind, my favorite scripture, renewing the mind, replace fearful thoughts with God's truth. And then we talk about speaking the word like Joshua. Like I said, remind yourself that God is with you. Joshua 1 verse 9. And then taking action despite fear. Psalm 56. Choose to trust God even when fear is present. Because the scripture says, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. Society says that it's okay to have little fear. A little anxiety pushes you. It's not okay, saints. The Bible tells us to be anxious for nothing. But you see, the thing is, we embrace the world so much that it messes our the word of God, our spirit. So we need to detach. We are in this world, but not of this world. We must walk away from embracing the systems of this world. We need to be exemplary. When somebody says something, says that's not my portion, and then you cancel it with the word, you always cover yourself with the blood of Jesus. You must know who you are. If you do not know who you are, the world will tell you who you're not. Hallelujah. And then we're talking about breaking free from the spirit of fear. So overcoming fear requires active resisting and replacing it with the word in faith and trusting God. Integrating biblical principles with the... So now I'm saying integrate your biblical principles with growth strategies. When you plan like... You know, you know that whatever you want to do is in line with the word. Even when you plan things with your career, plan them in line with boldness and the purpose-driven life. Hallelujah. I've got a few minutes, but we're still going to pray. Apostle, can I please have more time? Okay. So, I'm jumping sometime. This is the year of divine acceleration. What goal have you set for this year? The word of the year and the title of the month, when those were said, what did you say? How are you going to achieve them? What roadmap have you put in place? There's something that we call grow. When you put goals, grow. You must have a goal. It must be reachable. You know, you must follow that strategy. You must know that this is my goal. It is reachable. I am going to do ABC. You don't just go, okay, this is a year of divine acceleration. I'll see it. I want a license. I'll see it when it happens. What happens, what will be. There's no such. If you don't speak to your day, somebody else will speak to your day. Hallelujah. Believing in God and faith in action. Faith is more than just believing. It is acting on that belief. I'll repeat that. Faith is not just believing. It is acting on that belief. Okay, faith and works. James 2:17 again. Faith must be followed by action. Trusting God goes beyond fear. Isaiah 41, verse 10. God is always in control. Walking in boldness. Remember the early church in the book of Acts 29, verse 29, 31. They prayed for boldness, and God granted them boldness. So we can ask for boldness. The Bible also says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask. Hallelujah. We're talking about now the power of belief. You know the belief, it's that one, right? Believe. We're taking it from there. I just want, in case you were not aware of it. All right. The power, belief in the Bible is not just an intellectual agreement, but it is a deep trust in God. Mark 9:23 says, if you can believe, all things are possible. Hallelujah. The word belief comes from both Greek and Hebrew. In Hebrew, it means aman, which means to confirm, support, uphold, to be firm, faithful, or trustworthy. That's believe. And then also, here in Genesis, in the book of Genesis 15:6, aman is used, meaning Abraham placed his full trust on God's promise. Are you placing your full trust in the word of God? What areas in your life do you struggle in believing God? Do you believe God for healing, but for finances you don't believe? Do you believe God for this, but... You see, sometimes we juggle, we box God. No, this one is too big for God. I'll handle this for this because I'm educated for this. I know how the sum work. I know how to do this calculation. I know the algebra X. I know how to solve X or solve whatever. But God needs to solve all your X's. Hallelujah. Amen. Now we're going to talk about the spirit of fear versus faith. Fear is a tool, the enemy. Fear is a tool of the enemy that means bondage. Faith is an antidote to fear. Faith and fear cannot coexist. One will overpower the other. So you need to choose which one you're going to walk with. Fear or faith, they cannot exist. They cannot coexist. Hallelujah. sorry, faith, believe you must, okay, moving from faith, from fear to faith. Faith comes before belief. You must first trust before you can fully believe. You must fully trust before you can fully believe. Faith is not a feeling. It is a decision. You must decide. Like forgiveness, it's a decision that you make. You know what? I am deciding right now that I'm going to have faith. I'm casting away all doubts. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. And then how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we need to sit at the feet of Jesus. We need to eat the word, drink the word. You need to let go of what holds you in fear. The enemy works by keeping people in a fear zone. So you need to be aware of that. You need to, when you're fearing failure, get hold of your future. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Fear of poverty, the scripture is, for I know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. Fear of lack, God provides. Philippians 4, your Philippians 1, 6. Fear of the unknown, God leads you. Psalm 32, verse 8. I'm just giving you snippets because you should know that all this failure, why should you fear when the word has been given to us? So it's all a mindset. Bazalwane, this thing, it's all here in the mind. Sometimes we manifest as a man thinketh, so is he. It depends on what you feed your mind. It depends on what is in your mind. I know there are instances when you think about something and then it happened and then you blame the witches, whereas it's you. You have allowed the enemy to use your mind as his nest. Reject that. And then, now I want to know, what actions will you take today to show that you believe God's promise? It's action-based. You must decide. So now, on that, having said that, I just need us to say this declaration, and then after this declaration, we are going to pray. Not those ones, man. There are other declarations. Can you just say this after me? God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. I trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding. I walk by faith and not by sight. I believe that God's promises for my life will come through. My God is never late. He is always on time. Hallelujah. Can we just pray? And I need us to break the spirit of fear. We need to renounce that spirit. And we declare God's word in our lives. Hallelujah. Father, Karel Santo Shade, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Librosa de Coroba Sande, Jete Kelecosi, Zubra de Jate Carababasica, Lebronska Licabo, Jate Corababasia. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, mighty God, we thank you, mighty God, that art with us. There is no reason to fear, mighty God. Perfect love casts away fear in the mighty name of Jesus. We choose to walk in faith. We believe in your word, for your word never changes. You are the same God yesterday, today, and forever, mighty God. Your word promises us that because we trust in you, we'll never be put to shame. Karebronska eko zabaleko rababasia zukabande jetekerebosika. Father, we walk by faith and not by sight. We believe in your promises, oh God. We trust, mighty God, that you will guide us, mighty God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that is here to lead us, to guide us in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching us. Thank you, Father, for the wisdom, for understanding. Thank you for revelation in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your word that is a lamp unto our feet in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We believe in the power of our transformation, mighty God, by your word. Your word transforms us in the name of Jesus. We walk by faith and not by sight in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your word, O God. Resondo jate kelebrosa, mekelebrosia zukabande, jekerobobosia, rakazeko lababasanda. We choose to be strong and courageous in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we trust you, Lord God. We rely on you, Father. Father, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the word is piercing into our hearts and clearing, mighty God, everything that is not from you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we renounce fear. We renounce fear. We refuse to walk in fear in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, anything that you did not plant in our lives, let it be uprooted right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, cleanse our minds of doubts, mighty God. Clear our minds of doubts, mighty God, in the name of Jesus. Remove all roots of unbelief in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh Lord, Father, we choose to trust in you in the mighty name of Jesus. Ko reso toko balika rebebesende rebosia zukabande jete. Fear, come out of God's people. Come out. We rebuke you in the mighty name of Jesus. Satan, let God's people go in the name of Jesus. We speak freedom, freedom of mind, freedom of thought in the name of Jesus. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. We are free in the mighty name of Jesus. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we know we in you we live, in you we move, in you we have our own being in the mighty name of Jesus. We reject the spirit of fear. Father, forgive us for allowing fear to torment us. Forgive us, Father, for not trusting and relying on you. Oh, Lord, let your mercy, mighty God, have mercy on us, mighty God, in the name of Jesus. We refuse to walk in doubts. Fear, you no longer have a right to torment us in the name of Jesus. You no longer have place in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. We cast you out of our families. We cast you out of our marriages. We cast you doubt out of our businesses. We cast you out of our decision making in the name of Jesus. We will not procrastinate in the name of Jesus. We hear from the Spirit of God. Anything that is not of God in our lives, we uproot you, we tear you down, we destroy it in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word is true. We thank you, Father, for your word produces results. We thank you, Lord, that we walk by faith and not by sight. We thank you, Father, that your word is the lamp unto our feet. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind, mighty God. Thank you, Father. Right now, we renounce every spirit of fear and anxiety. We take authority over our minds and our emotion. We declare that we are free in the mighty name of Jesus. Fear, you have no place in our lives. We walk by faith, yes, Lord, not by sight, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, make us a candidate of your faith, of your favor, mighty God, in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Father, we thank you. Amen. Now we are going to do declarations. Can we have declarations? There are some declarations that we have. There are some faith declaration. Father, we thank you. We terminate fear. We terminate doubt. We terminate failure in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. There are declarations. We're declaring this and believe that they are going to happen. All right. Number one, the first one, speaking to life over fear to shift the mindset and the atmosphere. I am strong and courageous. I am strong. Let's say together. Yes. I am strong and courageous. I trust in the Lord with all my heart. Fear has no power over me, for I am covered by God's perfect love. My mind is renewed daily by the word of God. I walk by faith, not by sight. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. I am released from the spirit of fear. I am released from this negativity of the world. I am released from the spirit of disappointment. I declare the word of God upon my life wherever I go. I refuse to be controlled by fear, for I am more than a conqueror through Christ. Fear has no place in my life, for perfect love casts out fear. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. I refuse to be controlled by fear, for I am more than a conqueror in Christ. Oh, it's repeated. Fear has no place in my life, for perfect love casts out fear. I walk by faith and not by sight. My trust is in the Lord. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not in my own understanding. The Holy Spirit dwells in me and fills me with his power. I am grateful for the presence of the Lord, and I do not take it for granted. I yield myself to God, and I embrace everything that comes from him. I renounce and reject that does come from him. I am strong and courageous because the Lord is with me. I will not be shaken, for my faith is built on Christ, my solid rock. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am fixed in confidence and boldness because God is with me. I am called and equipped to go after righteousness. That's my heart, sorry. I am not a people pleaser because I answer to God first and seek to please him. I am not stuck in worry because Jesus offers peace this world cannot give. My God shall supply all my needs according to riches in glory. I believe all things are possible with God, for no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Not the plan of the Lord for me are good, to give me hope and a future. I will wait on the Lord. My strength is being renewed as an eagle's. God is working all things together for my good. Lord will hasten his word to perform it in my life. I receive divine acceleration. What took others years for me months by God's grace. God is restoring my wasted years and bringing swift breakthroughs. I believe I receive my declaration fulfilled in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. Yes. So that is all from me. But what I want to leave us with is, it is a decision. You may be seated. Just faith is a decision. Trusting God is a decision. Believing God is a decision. Let's rewire our minds. Satan will do what he has to do, but you do what you have to do. Trust in God. Lean not in your understanding. Let's not look at what is happening around. Let us not be doubting Thomas. It is important to renew our minds. It is important to trust the word of God. Make it the lamp unto your feet. Walk by faith. Circumstances, remember, we are in this world, but not of this world. Not everything that happens here has to affect you. They will happen, but it's you that, you know, saints, you choose how you want things to be. I've practiced this. We were talking about God's love. When you are so sure that God's love, nothing is impossible. I'm reminded of the time when my life was in the, inverted commas, in the hands of doctors. I would hear them in the passage discussing, what are we going to do? What medication to give her? I was finished. But this one thing I used to say to God, I say, Father, you love me. My concern was not being healed. I said, I know you've done that. My question to God was, when am I getting out of the hospital? Because I knew that he had healed me. My question was like, if you love me, how come Loza is sitting in Joburg and I'm sitting here in hospital, and when you are seated there with Jesus at your right hand? That was my negotiation. Sickness, the condition was not a factor. I just wanted to get out of there because I knew it was already finished. So holding on to the promises of God. Iti Bible, believe the word of the prophet and you'll get the prophet's reward. I'm paraphrasing it. The prophet of God has said the word. He has said the word. I'm excited because I have been delayed by so many things. And I know what took others years, it's going to take me days and weeks. I don't have months. Saints, you know when people say you wait, God knows this me. I am not Daniel. I tell God, I don't have 21 days. Honestly, I always say, God, I'm different. God treats us differently. I know that I was like that. It was not impatient. It was because I know God can do it. I, however, knew that God had to prepare me. Like every step, now I know. I said, Father, thank you for not giving that. Because now I am well equipped. I am solid. God casted away fear of the devil. When you can master that, you don't allow him to work on your mind. If there is one thing that we need to practice, is to practice not hearing the voice of the devil. He will always speak. He's always seeking whom to devour. He is like a roaring lion. Saints, lastly, we have so much power and authority. The challenge is that the devil does not want us to know that we have authority. He's happy with you knowing that you have power. Praying in the spirit, praying in tongues is one of the key things. Because the enemy does, he doesn't like Christians that have got renewed minds and they pray in the spirit. When you know who you are, the devil doesn't like you. And I always say, oh, maybe that's why he doesn't like, because mine is to renew the minds of people. Mine is to transform lives. So I don't care if he doesn't like me. My Father loves me and I'm comfortable with him. Thank you, Apostle, for this time. Thank you for hearing God for divine acceleration. You were sent for me when I apostle. Amen. Hallelujah.
Come on, put your hands together. That was powerful, powerful, powerful. Amen. And I think it's worthy for us to just continue to chew the cud, because the Bible says when the word is sown in the soil, if the heart does not understand it, then the birds of the air will take it away. So it's very important to have clear understanding. Can someone say understanding? That is the purpose of teaching, is so that we can have understanding. Because if you don't understand something, you certainly will not have confidence in it. And so this is why we're spending this time, and we're going to chew the cud and share a few things here, and we'll pray a little bit more, because there's just one little piece I want to just put in here that I think will help us, according to 2 Corinthians 10 from verse 3, regarding what spiritual warfare is. Spiritual warfare is a concept or something that took me a while to really nail it down to understand. What do we mean by spiritual warfare? I understood it to be, okay, we're binding devils and all of that in the atmosphere. And that is a level of understanding of what spiritual warfare is. But there is a greater understanding, because once you understand how the devil works and how demonic forces work, then you really understand what spiritual warfare is. Now, the Bible says this: for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. That's clear, isn't it? So we're not taking up pangas and axes and knives and guns. That's not where our warfare is. That's a fleshly, natural warfare. So though we're walking in this flesh, our weapons are not according to the flesh. Verse 4. Let's go to the next verse. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. Mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Okay, so these weapons are designed and effective in pulling down strongholds. What's a stronghold? A stronghold is a fort. It's a fortification. Okay? A stronghold is a place of defense. In the old days, there were forts, there were castles and so forth. Jericho was a stronghold because it was highly defended by these very high walls, very wide walls, big walls. It's a stronghold. So our weapons pull down strongholds. But let's go a little bit further. Where are these strongholds? Now it tells us in verse 5. Casting down, for the pulling down of strong. Now it's continuing. It's not the end of the sentence. And casting down, pulling down, casting down. Pulling down, same thing. Pulling down, casting down. So they're up there somewhere, but we're casting them down. What are we casting down? What does the scripture say? So the warfare is against arguments. What is an argument? It's a thought, isn't it? It is a thought that is arguing against the word of God. So warfare is not only about binding the devil. See, and I'll put it this way, and I think I've said this. How many people know you can arrest a thief, but arresting is not the same as silencing? You can have a very talkative thief, but they are arrested. So we can bind the devil so that he has little mobility, but when it comes to his mouth, we can't bind his mouth. He is still talking, and those talks are the ones bringing the fears, the arguments to say, it won't happen. Have you ever seen it? Never. It won't happen. That is warfare. You are now dealing with spiritual warfare. Right in church. During the service. After the service. So our warfare and our weapons are for casting down arguments. That means thoughts, words that the enemy is speaking into the atmosphere. Okay, let me explain it this way. A principality doesn't operate like a demon. What a demon does, it will harass somebody, it will torment them, oppress them, you know, all of those things. But it is a very low-level devil in a very real way, okay? A principality doesn't come that low. That's why it's in the air. What a principality does is that it operates like a satellite station. And what it does, it broadcasts lies. So let me give you an example, if I may. So you find maybe here in Gauteng, the principality of rebellion will be saying, it's okay to disobey your parents. It's okay to rebel against them. It's okay to disrespect them. That is being broadcast in the atmosphere. So now you have a person coming from Limpopo who was used to obeying their parents. They come now to Gauteng, and unawares they are receiving transmission to say it's okay to disobey, it's okay to disrespect, it's okay to rebel. This is Gauteng. You can do this here. And the same person who was very obedient and all that to their parents becomes a different person now in Gauteng, because the broadcasting satellite system that is broadcasting into the spirit, remember, this is spirit to spirit. So you have the antennas to pick up what is being broadcast, okay? And unconsciously, your thoughts are being affected by the principality that is broadcasting those lies in that area. So that's why we have what we call spiritual mapping, where things are different. There are different devils in Soweto than there are in Hillbrow. And there are different devils in Hillbrow than in Four Ways. Okay? The devils are everywhere, but they're different devils. Okay? And so principalities, is what's important is to know this. Principalities are the authors of these arguments. So, we cast down, listen now very carefully, we cast down those arguments and every high thing, exalted ideologies, thinking processes, belief systems that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, bringing what? Every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. How do we do that? What we do is that we use the Word of God. It is the sword of the way you counteract a thought is by a word. Now, tell your neighbor that, or shout across your neighbor. The way you counteract a thought is with a word. So, when Satan comes to Jesus in the wilderness to tempt him and say, you know, do 10 stones into bread, Jesus didn't just say, I bind you, devil. He said, what? It is written. The thought of being presumptuous, turning stones into bread, bypassing God's direction in the process, that thought had to be cast down. Jesus cast it down with the word. Man, it wasn't even his own words. Even Jesus did not trust his own words. He spoke God's words and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So that is why we make decrees and declarations, because that is warfare. That's how you counteract the thought that the enemy in the atmosphere. Now, we do bind them in the name of Jesus, but the way that we go further than that is we decree and declare the truth of the Word of God to counteract and cancel the broadcast, at least over our lives. And if we're interceding over a city, then that cancels that broadcast over the city. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I want to explain that and why everything comes back to the Word of God. That even when we're praying in alignment with the Word of God. So spiritual warfare is not just about becoming, you know, emotional or angry about what the enemy is doing. It doesn't require emotions, although it does require, fervency. The Bible says an effectual fervent prayer of the righteous avails much, okay? But what we're doing, amen, in dealing with fear, because that's the subject we're dealing with tonight. Thank you so much, Pastor Lunga, for that. When we're dealing with fear, you have to counteract fear with the Word of God, okay? That overpowers the thought, casts it down, because it's the thought that makes you fear. Okay? It's the thought that this might not work. It's a thought that I might fail. It's a thought they might repossess my car. It's a thought that I'll have to drop out of school. It's the thought I may never get married. It's those thoughts that you now have to say, I know where this fear is coming from. It's these thoughts. And I'm casting down these strongholds because the enemy is now fortified himself in my mind about this matter, and you pull it down. Does that help anybody? All right. Praise the Lord. And so as we stand together, we're going to pray again. Amen. And this time, what we're going to do in our praying, I want you to stand against those principalities and powers that are specifically behind those things that you are afraid of. Okay? Specifically behind your fears. Because the enemy, you see, the enemy cannot possess a believer. He can't enter you, but he can speak into your ear. So you have to counteract that, pray in the Spirit, and begin to speak the Word of God. Now, we've done that already as well, but speak it a little bit further, amen, and bind that principality of fear, intimidation, distraction, discouragement, whatever the case might be. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I wanted to speak on one thing, and then we're going to pray. Something very powerful you mentioned here, Pastor Lunga, about faith. I just want to touch on this one thing so we can pray further. That you must fully trust before you believe. Now that's a lot. That is deep right there. Because the fact of the matter is that you were talking about what happened when, as a child, we could just believe everything and be trusting Him. Well, what happened was we got disappointed. What happened was we got dropped. Okay? So now, what does that mean? We've got trust issues. Because we've been let down. Somewhere, not maybe by my mother or my father, but in life. Now we've got trust issues, and these trust issues translate to your relationship with God. How do you trust somebody you can't see? How do you trust somebody you've never seen with your eyes? Now, that's a whole other teaching there. And that's where now we have to believe the Word of God. And God has proven Himself, amen, over and over and over. We have to develop the trust and the confidence in the Word. It's not an overnight thing. So we're going to pull down some strongholds of distrust. Because this can speak to many areas, in relationships and so forth. Trust issues are at the root of many, many, many things. That's a principality. That's a stronghold we have to pull down because it's affecting our relationship with God. If your father disappointed you, it's going to be a challenge for you to trust God because your father is a very respected spiritual authority of your life, and he's a visible representation of God. And now if you can't trust your father, that's going to translate to your heavenly father. Are you following what I'm saying? So that's a stronghold that we need to break right now. So let's stand together. Let's pray in the Spirit And you deal with that stronghold of distrust in the mighty name of Jesus. And we are going to, amen, see our faith go to another level as we are able to put our trust in God so that we can have faith in His Word.
Brange betilo komoroshe ketina handano, jongo baraba kabrase ketina nasaka potora, brange bekila kamara gabarugo gumbogumboje, jenge baranda la gabrando lo kostaya.
Okay, let me help somebody. Okay, Holy Spirit, this will help somebody. If you've had some trust issues in your life, you're disappointed, the first thing you need to do is to forgive. This is for you, it's not for them. This is for you, is to forgive them for disappointing you, abandoning you, rejecting you, whatever it is, that you must release them. This is why forgiveness is so important in prayer, okay? So I want to help somebody. I know this is not for everybody, but make sure you forgive. When those people come to mind, when it comes to trust issues, things will start popping up, okay? Let's continue to pray. Hallelujah. Shakomo rabakala kamande boshon kepeti la kamande. Brazo komoro kotolo komatara baketele kiasonka. Bramba gabaronde. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself up against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We come before you, Lord, that you would forgive us where we have held any issues of trust, Father God, unforgiveness. We forgive those people who disappointed us anyway along our life's journey, whether it was an uncle, whether it was a brother, whether it was a mother, a father, a neighbor, a friend, a grandparent, a colleague, a teacher. Doesn't matter who, Lord. Father, whoever those people are, we come to you that you would forgive us for holding distrust issues in our hearts against them. Cleanse us from distrust in the name of Jesus. Where we've been hurt, where we've been disappointed, where we've been disregarded, rejected, forgotten. Father God, whatever the case might be, that we have developed a trust issue that has translated to a trust issue even towards you. Father, we will become skeptical. Where, Father God, will become negative, Father God, in terms of even your word because of our personal trust issues. Father, forgive us in the name of Jesus. And we forgive those, Lord God, who hurt us. Well, Lord God, even when there's nobody in the picture, but Lord, we were hurt, we were disappointed, we were dropped, and we cannot put the blame on anybody. But Lord, it helped, it brought us to a place of woundedness somewhere. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we ask you to heal us in those areas where we have disappointed us, where we've been disappointed. Father God, we might have prayed for somebody and nothing changed. We might have prayed for something and nothing happened. And so, Lord, it affected our trust issues. When it comes to your word, Lord, we ask your God to work in our hearts. We know that you are not at fault. Your word is not at fault. And we ask, Lord God, that you would work in our hearts and rebuild our trust and our confidence in your word, to know that you are faithful, to know that you are true to your word. You're not a man that you should lie. You're not the son of man that you should even change your mind. If you said it, you're going to make it good. So, Lord, we trust you tonight. We put our confidence in you tonight. We put our weight upon your word. In the name of Jesus, we're willing to walk on the water with your word in the mighty name of Jesus. That's how much trust and confidence we will have in your word from today. That, Lord God, if you said it, we will trust your word and we will have faith in your word in the mighty name of Jesus. Not in the words of men, but in your word, Lord. Only you are worthy of absolute trust. And so, Lord, tonight we cast down imaginations. We cast down strongholds of distrust. We pull them down
in the name of Jesus, in the atmosphere, in our families, Lord, in our family culture, in our family background, Lord, with unbelief, we cast down unbelief in the name of Jesus. Entrench distrust, entrench unbelief in the name of Jesus. We cast them down, even in our own lives, Father. We cast down distrust in the mighty name of Jesus. You're not calling us to be naive or to be foolish. Lord God, you are calling us to trust in you, to put our confidence in your word. And Father, wherever we have trust issues when it comes to your word, Father, we heard this about it didn't work, and so-and-so prayed for somebody, and there was supposed to be a man of God, but they died. Father God, in the name of Jesus, wherever we have developed trust issues, in the name of Jesus, we cast them down tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, we wage war by the word of God, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We decree that we have the mind of Christ. We walk in the mind of Christ in Jesus' name. We think the thoughts of God. We speak the word of God. Father, we decree and we declare that we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't walk by our circumstances or our feelings or even by our own imagination. Father, we walk according to the word of God. Father, we decree that you are not a man that you should lie, nor the son of man you should change your mind. You sent your word and healed them and delivered them from their distresses. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will never pass away. Father, we thank you. Hold all things together by the power of your word. Your word, Lord God, holds everything together. We can put our confidence and trust in your word, your written word and your spoken word. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, your word, O Lord, is trustworthy. Your word is settled in heaven. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, your word is from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Father, you are not separate from your Word. You are one with your Word. And so, Lord, tonight we cast down every stronghold of distrust that breeds fear, uncertainty, a lack of confidence in what you say in your word, Father, that, Lord God, your word will be rooted in us and we'll put full confidence and trust in it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we bind demonic forces, we bind principalities and powers, we arrest them, we silence and muzzle them in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we cancel their broadcasting. We cancel their transmissions of unbelief and fear. We cancel their imaginations. We delete, oh God, their videos that he wants to play in our minds of negative scenarios. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we delete those thoughts by the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and we replace them with the word of God. And the word of God, it shall stand. Hey, glory to God. Thank you, Father, that, Lord, you stand by your word to perform it. In the mighty name of Jesus, it shall not be otherwise. It shall be according to your word, so it shall be unto us. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, amen, amen, amen. Can we give God praise right there? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, this is something you don't have to wait for a prayer to do. This is something you do every time, all the time. Whenever the thought comes, you cast it down. Don't let it stay in your mind and build a stronghold. Just cast it down. The bill will be paid. It is paid in Jesus' name. These fees are taken care of. Whatever it is that you're dealing with, by his stripes, I was healed. This is spiritual warfare. And you are victorious in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.